The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to start out the show today by offering a perspective, a thought or two, about what happened, what transpired in this nation over the Easter weekend. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio program. And it should be noted that all of the national controversy surrounding this transgender proclamation issued by President Biden actually started on this very radio program on Friday. We were the very first folks out there to talk about this, and also to bring up a story that did not garner a lot of coverage, but I reposted it on Friday. And now Fox and everybody else has picked up the story about the Easter eggs that are being rolled right now at the White House. And we're going to get to that story as well. But it all ties in together. And I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on the president's proclamation. Also, I'm just curious. Many of you went to an Easter Sunday service. Maybe you went to a sunrise service. I'm curious to know if your pastors actually talked about this issue from the pulpit. Now, we're going to play some audio in just a moment from our good buddy, Pastor Jack Graham of Prestonwood Baptist Church. They have just a massive church, 10,000-seat auditorium, and they fill it up multiple times on Sundays. And Pastor Graham is unafraid to speak truth to the culture. He is unafraid to say what needs to be said. And we're going to play a clip, a snippet of his Easter Sunday sermon. But I do know that a good many preachers around the nation did say something about the president's proclamation. And quite frankly, they should have. Over the weekend, I issued a call for every pastor in America to address this from their pulpits. And here's the reason why. Ladies and gentlemen, I truly believe that we are dealing with an infestation of demonic activity in these great United States. Now, over the past year or so, we've had an uptick in the number of these sightings of the UFOs, of these things, these lights, these craft that are doing things that are inexplicable. I mean, we have documented this on the program. We haven't done a big deep dive into it, but it's been out there. And there's a lot of speculation that the beings, whatever those beings are not, they're not aliens, but in fact, they may be something within the earth realm, whether that be demons or whatever. But I do believe, based on the behavior of this administration, that they are possessed with an evil spirit. And there is a movement afoot in this country to eventually, and hear me on this, this is the key word here, eventually criminalize Christianity. We are on a path to making that happen. As a matter of fact, there is a movement right now to literally rewrite the Bible by the LGBTQ movement. And many of the activists in this movement believe that the source of all of their problems is the Holy Bible, and they want to rewrite the Bible, and they want to banish passages of the Holy Bible that condemn their particular lifestyles. Franklin Graham over the weekend issued this warning. He says, judgment is coming to America. Do you believe that? Do you believe that judgment is coming to America? Now, let me explain what went down over the weekend. I follow the White House website like a hawk. And over the weekend, I noticed right away that they had issued the proclamation. This is very important. This is a proclamation declaring March 31st as Transgender Visibility Day. I contend that March 31st is actually Jesus Visibility Day. But when you go back and when you read the proclamation, the president of these United States was literally declaring, proclaiming that the holiday we were to celebrate on Sunday was, in fact, Transgender Visibility Day. He did not issue a proclamation about Easter. He issued a statement about Easter, but not a proclamation about Easter. This is very important, and this is why you have to parse words with these people. So in the eyes of the Biden administration, Sunday was all about the transgender movement. That's all it was about. It wasn't about celebrating a risen Savior. It was celebrating medical mutilation surgeries and men who run around in frilly ladies' underpants. That's what yesterday was all about. And it was intentional. It was not some sort of an accident. It was intentional. Because there are many within this administration, many within Congress, who truly believe that Christians should be second-class citizens in this country. And what's really shocking is the number of these so-called woke evangelicals. And these are the millennial pastors and older. And they're out there saying, well, we should, if the government is going to declare Easter Sunday as Transgender Visibility Day, then we should do so as well. Because we don't want to offend people. Okay, well, the problem with the millennials here is that one day they're going to wake up and realize they're not going to be able to go inside their churches anymore because the government shut them down. And you know what? It would be okay with those kinds of people. There is a very weird sect of Christianity in America, and these people believe that if the government comes in and shuts down your church, you should just obey. Because with the woke evangelicals, and there are a lot of them in my denomination. I'm a Southern Baptist, and there are a lot of these people in my denomination now. I don't know where they came from. It does kind of make you wonder what they're teaching kids in these seminaries, these preacher boys, which is why you've always got to do your homework and make sure that your church is not bringing in one of these woke evangelicals. And if they're reading people like, I don't know, David French and Russell Moore, that's a big warning flag. That's a siren that you need to be very, very careful. But a lot of churches were just unwilling to address what the president had to say, and I'm so glad that Pastor Jack Graham did. Here's what he had to say, cut 20.
Demonic and damnable, and a lot of other deeds that I can think of. How dare you, Joe Biden? And this is not a political statement. This is not about left or right, Democrat, Republican, politically. This is about right or wrong, morally and spiritually. That's what this is about. And then you would endeavor to cancel or change the message of Easter. But of course, that's impossible. No president, no king, no potentate, no dictator can change the message and the proclamation of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live and never die. But you're never going to cancel that. You're never going to change that. You say, why would you bring this up on Easter, Pastor? It's so negative. Why aren't you bringing good news? I'm getting to that. But why wouldn't you bring it up in the face of this atrocity, abomination? And I would say to any pastor who's not bringing it up, what's wrong with you?
Wow. It's a great question. What's wrong with you? If you're a pastor and you didn't bring it up, what's wrong with you? By the way, Pastor Graham writing this, Easter is a sacred day to millions of Americans and Christians around the world. This action by the Joe Biden regime is deplorable, debauched, and demonic. This is not about left or right politically, but right or wrong morally. Enough is enough. How dare this president dishonor the King of Kings, who is alone worthy to be worshipped on the Lord's Day? But of course, Jesus defeated the grave and will defeat all his enemies and those who think they can diminish him by a declaration from hell. And that's what it is. Now, the question is, what in the world is this trans day of visibility? You may not be aware of this, but the LGBT community, they've got 104, almost 150 designated holidays honoring where they put their reproductive organs. It's shocking, but there are a lot of holidays. I mean, Hallmark has got to be doing booming business with this group. The Trans Day of Visibility began 15 years ago by some dude who claims he's a woman. And this gentleman's name is Mr. Rachel Crandall Cracker. He's a psychotherapist and the executive director of a nonprofit, Transgender Michigan. So he started this 15 years ago. And it's fascinating because, ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the numbers of transgender people, it was barely measurable 10 years ago. And now the numbers are off the charts, and most of the people that are claiming to be transgender are under the age of 18. What does that tell you about the radical, nefarious, perverted indoctrination that's happening in our public school system? What does it tell you about all of that? But again, back to the transgender movement. I don't believe there's such a thing. If you believe the Bible, you know that God created male and female. That's it. There's a period there at the end of that Bible verse. So in essence, and I'm bringing it all together here, but the reason why the Biden administration did this is that they're putting Christians and people of faith on notice. All of you Protestants, evangelicals, Catholics, they're putting you on notice that your belief system no longer matters, that your belief system is being marginalized. Because you see what the transgender movement is at its core. It's telling you that God made a mistake, right? So you, let's just say if you're transgender, you were born a boy, but you say that you feel like you are a girl, that everything inside of you tells you that you are a girl. Now, that used to be a psychiatric condition just a few years ago. But now we're being told we have to embrace that. And we have to acknowledge that. But we are acknowledging a lie because, again, the transgender movement is saying that God screwed up. So when God made male and female, he made you a male, but he screwed up because you are supposed to be a female. So this is literally the denial of God. That's what the transgender movement is really all about. And you watch. There is going to be a radical attempt to marginalize and weaken Christianity. And by the way, this is happening, and it's a fascinating study. And I guess we could dedicate an entire show to this particular issue, but I'm not. I want to open up the phone lines and hear from you. But I will give you an example. Right now, within the confines of the Southern Baptist Convention, which was the only denomination in American history to come back from liberalism, but now it is going right back into the arms of liberalism. And a lot of the leaders, a lot of the young pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention, they embrace all of this stuff, every single bit of it. But ladies and gentlemen, and I wrote extensively about this in Twilight's Last Gleaming, and talk about for such a time as this moment. But in my book, I offer warning signs to people of America, and especially people of faith. This is a warning sign. And ladies and gentlemen, we all have a decision to make. Does faith matter to you anymore? You see, I contend the reason that we are suffering as a nation right now is because we are going through spiritual warfare with demons. That's what I think is going on here. So, look, we're going to open up the phone lines. I'm curious to know if your pastor's talked about this. Give us a call. Do you have a problem with Joe Biden's proclamation that he issued honoring and declaring Easter Sunday as Transgender Visibility Day? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS. And you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers. 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything is on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last.
Senator, I do need to get your comment. Today being Easter, President Biden has designated this the Transgender Day of Visibility. What's your take on that?
You know, Jason, I think everyone should be insulted by this, the intentional nature of this. Easter is a religious holiday. It is such a sacred day where we all meet at the cross. And for this White House to declare it, to issue a proclamation for Transgender Visibility Day, and then at the same time to deny the use of religious symbols in the White House Easter egg hunt art competition. Think about that one. They are insulting every Christian who holds this day as a sacred day.
Wow. Good for you, Senator Marsha Blackburn. This just in, they're interviewing the president at the Easter egg roll. By the way, the Easter egg roll, they told the children of military, of National Guard members, you cannot decorate the Easter egg. The kids were doing an Easter egg decorating contest. They told the kids, you cannot decorate those Easter eggs with anything religious. A cross, a crown of thorns, I don't, whatever it is, a Bible, couldn't do it. So anyway, this just happening, so I have to read the transcript to you. Someone just sent this to me. Mr. President, what does Easter mean to you? And Biden says, well, it's a time of forgiveness and people getting together and a little bit of love and phoniness. No phoniness. Be straight with people. No, sir. Easter is about celebrating the risen Savior, you fake Catholic. But then, and here's the breaking news, the president was asked about Transgender Day of Visibility, and the president said he did not issue the proclamation. So the president is either lying, ladies and gentlemen, or he is completely ignorant of what his staff is doing in the White House. Either way, it is a bad thing. Who is running the White House, Mr. President? Who is calling the shots? Who is doing that? Unbelievable. But the president of the United States now denying he issued a proclamation calling Easter Sunday the Transgender Day of Visibility. Let's go to Jeffrey in North Carolina. Jeffrey, what say you?
Yeah, my opinion is he's deliberately doing it on purpose. It's an attack, and for someone to be called a devout Catholic, you're spitting in your face of your own religion. You know, I just got a quick opinion on that, but it's ridiculous. And
I think we lost Jeffrey. Well, look, yes, this is outrageous. And again, the guy calls himself a devout Catholic. We've got some audio from a bishop who had some thoughts on that. But we're going to be taking your calls on this. Folks, literally, Joe Biden just announced that he did not issue a proclamation calling Sunday Transgender Visibility Day. What does that tell you about this guy's mental state? Or he's just a liar. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, by the way, folks, head over to our website, toddstarns.com. We have some great, great stuff in our store. You're going to love it. Get yourself a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. Folks, based on what happened over the weekend, every American in the country needs to be reading my book today. Every single one of you. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Have we been able to confirm this information? All right. Dylan is shaking his head yes. All right. This just in, ladies and gentlemen. I was just handed this piece of paper. We have breaking news coming from the White House Easter egg roll, and we knew this was going to happen. It was only a matter of just when. We now have official video of President Biden sniffing a child. The video, and we're going to have this up on our website in mere moments, the video shows President Biden greeting a little baby. It appears to be a baby boy being held by his father, and Biden just leans right in for the sniff. We have multiple angles of the sniff, and he got a good whiff. He got a good whiff of the child. We will keep you updated. Something tells me this will not be the only child that gets sniffed today. There are a lot of children out there, and they're rolling around and playing with the secular Easter eggs. I'm not making this up. We've got the video. Jeez-a-loo. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So here is a woke pastor telling all of you Christians that you better embrace transgender people. Cut number six.
Happy Transgender Day of Visibility. It is coming up this Sunday. And so for all of my trans friends, I am sending so much love to you.
Sorry, but Christians being mad that Trans Day of Visibility and Easter are the same day this year is so funny to me. I'm not even religious like that, but I know that Jesus loves trans people, so I'm sure Jesus wouldn't care. Isn't this holiday about him? I know you harbor some hatred against thy neighbor, but he didn't. Think about the fact that we should be loved just as Jesus loves us.
We're not telling people to hate anybody. We're just saying there's no such thing as a transgender person. None whatsoever. It's made up. And now, by the way, all of these children, and I've seen some numbers like now 4% or is it 4 or 5% of all children under the age of 18 now identify as trans? Folks, that's just unacceptable. Let's go to Georgia. Mike on the line. Hi, Mike. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. You there?
Mike, you're on the air.
Oh, sorry. Well, thanks for taking my call. And, well, I just wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, how often they wear a phrase out, a number of phrases. So we need to take that and run and wear as many phrases out as we can. One in particular that comes to mind is a fact. Satan steals, kills, misleads, and destroys, and so does the left. And they need to... We need to wear it out in their ear and remind the souls that vote for and support the Democratic Party how far lost they are remind them each and every day. And that was my point.
Well, Mike, I appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Yeah, it does bother me that the churches are now coming under direct attack. Oh, by the way, did you see what happened at St. Patrick's Cathedral yesterday? This is a beautiful Catholic cathedral there, Fifth Avenue, right across from Rockefeller Center. And they were hit by this rampaging mob of pro-Hamas people, and they literally disrupted the service. And they're hauling out their banners and their whatnot, and they're chanting and disrupting the church service on Easter Sunday. Now, I don't mean to disparage the good people of St. Patrick's Cathedral, but what the hell are you people doing? Had that been a Baptist church in the South, I'm telling you, they'd have been calling 911. And I'm talking about the protesters. Help us. Help us. The Baptists are attacking us. Yes, there's. I can't even imagine what would happen at a Baptist church down in Dixie if somebody decided to disrupt Easter Sunday services. I'm telling you, cast iron skillets would come out. The entire alto section of the choir would just pile down to the front of the altar. And there would be a good old fashioned, you know, beatdown. They'd send him to Jesus and let Jesus sort it all out. I'm just telling you, we don't mess around down here in the South with that kind of nonsense. But anyway, they disrupted. You had that going on. And then in Tennessee, in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, somebody in the dark of night, and we've got this, we've got the images up on our website, toddstearns.com. And somebody set fire to several hundred Bibles. So somebody piled all of these Bibles into the back of a trailer, drove it to the front of a church, and then set the thing on fire. Now, we understand from the Sheriff's Department, this happened like in the wee hours of the morning on Easter Sunday, and they say this was all intentionally done. So they're burning Bibles. You've got the pro-Hamas people invading church houses. Are you paying attention to what's going on in the country, ladies and gentlemen? Are you paying attention? All you people down in Georgia, all you people who stayed home and didn't participate in the U.S. Senate races, I want you to listen to what Raphael Warnock, who is not only a communist, he is a demon preacher, this guy. You know, he's allegedly a pastor. This guy is not a man of God. I believe him to be a man of Satan. Cut number three.
Well, apparently the speaker finds trans people abhorrent, and I think he ought to think about that. The fact of the matter is, as you said, March 31st has been a day to lift up transgender people who endure violence and bigotry. Easter, the date changes every single day. But this is just one more instance of folks who do not know how to lead us, trying to divide us. And this is the opposite of the Christian faith. Jesus centered the marginalized. He centered the poor. And in a moment like this, we need voices, particularly voices of faith, who would use our faith not as a weapon to beat other people down, but as a bridge to bring all of us together. That is what Martin Luther King Jr. did. And I'm honored to preach from that pulpit every single day. It is a faith that guides me in my work as a United States senator, trying to cap the cost of insulin so folks can afford it, trying to make sure first-time homeowners can buy a home, and that our children are not so awashed in student debt that they have a mortgage before they have a mortgage. This is how my faith informs me every single day.
Well, this is what this man is a follower of the devil. That's who he is. And he's also a communist, so there you go. But folks, in Georgia, we've got to do something about your U.S. senators. We got to have a conversation. I mean, that's just insane. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Just to put a pin in this, I want to play some audio from the education secretary. And folks, I'm telling you, your local schools have become these radicalized indoctrination centers for this baloney. And let's get real here. You send your kids off on the first day of school, little 4-year-old, little 5-year-old kids, and they know if they're little boys or little girls. They know their pronouns. They're good, decent people. They have their God-given hair color. You know, they're not shaving body parts. They're not piercing their nose or other regions. They're just good kids. And then they hit second grade, and you've got a your little son wants to wear a dress to school and go by the name Gladys. So anyway, your education secretary comes out, and he is literally replacing the American flag pin on his suit coat with a transgender pin. The symbolism here is really striking. But again, these are people who worship at the altar of the LGBT movement, and they pledge allegiance to the rainbow flag. I mean, this is who these people are. They're not hiding this from you, is what I'm trying to say. So anyway, this is your education secretary, Cut 14.
To the many transgender students across the country listening on this Trans Day of Visibility, we in the Biden-Harris administration want you to know that we see you, we support you, and we celebrate you. We also know it's not an easy time to be you. Walking into a classroom should be an act of hope, not an act of bravery. But every day you choose to show up as your true self, you make this world a more brave, more honest, and more free place. In your gift for seeing things as they could be, I see the promise of America. Today, we at the Department of Education want you to know that your school, your community, and your country are better because you're a part of it. You don't just belong here. We need you here. From all of us here at the Department of Education, happy Trans Day of Visibility.
No mention of Easter, no mention of Christians, nothing at all. This is coming from your education secretary. So look, folks, I just want you to understand what's going on here. This is not happening in a vacuum. This is part of a very long process. And if we don't get back and get Donald Trump back in the White House in November, we're going to be in a rough spot as a country. And God bless Donald Trump for standing up and demanding, by the way, demanding that the Biden administration apologize for insulting so many Christians. They're not going to do it, but good for President Donald Trump. And I want to ask you a question. You've got two choices here in November. Do you want the guy who is embracing the Bible and telling people to pray and go back to church? That would be Donald Trump. Or do you want the guy who is celebrating medical mutilation surgeries and men who wear ladies' underpants and sniffs children? That's Joe Biden. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Lord, I have really got to get over to the Hallmark store. Coming up, you've got, and I haven't got anything for this, but International Asexuality Day is coming up April 6th. April 13th is International Day of Pink. Oh, then April 26th, you've got Lesbian Visibility Day. Well, they're kind of pretty recognizable, aren't they? It's Oh, Harvey Milk Day is May 22nd. And mark this down, Dylan, May 25th, Pansexual and Pan-Romantic Awareness Day. Woo! Get those cast iron skillets greased up, Granny. Let's go to John in North Carolina. Hey, John, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how are you doing today?
I'm good. What's going on?
Thanks for taking my call. I listen to you every so often. I'm definitely not a conservative, and I don't vote for the right-wing folks. I just don't. I've always been a liberal. I've always been a Democrat my entire life. But I listen every so often. I listen to you, listen to Rush, listen to others over the years. And I hear the message that you give out, especially what's going on today and the things you're talking about just recently on your show. And I can't help but think that it's kind of counterproductive to society to bash and slam people the way that you do and say that this is how things should be. So my thought is, you know, in a sense, hearing what you're saying and some of the negative connotations you're giving other people, what is your end game? What would you like to see happen to LGBTQ people, trans people, people like that? What would you like to see them doing?
Well, first of all, there's
what they're doing now.
This is a fair question. So first of all, there's no such thing as a transgender person. People are born either male or female. And if for the people who argue that it is true that there are, that transgenderism is a thing, then that actually eliminates the L, the G, the B, and the, I don't know, 300 other genders that have been created out there. So for me, transgenderism is not a thing. Now, as far as the L, the G, and the B, I will say this, John. This is America. You get to live your life how you want to live your life, but you don't have a right to shove it down my throat, and you don't have a right to destroy the very fabric of America. And, John, on this program, we believe that America was founded on Judeo-Christian teachings. And so if you, as a movement, I'm not saying you personally, but if the LGBT movement is going to come in and say, you have to bow down and you have to worship us, that's not going to work.
But I have to bow down and worship a Christian?
Nobody's telling you to bow down and worship a Christian.
Well,
nobody's
tell
telling you that.
Not bound of you.
Nobody's telling you to
do something.
Say that again.
You're saying the same thing, though.
No, sir.
Exactly.
No,
same
sir.
Thing.
The LGBT activists want to destroy the foundations of this country. They want to destroy Christianity. That's why they're going in and invading the churches and bringing the drag queens into the church house and all of that nonsense. So it's not. And keep in mind, John, this right after the Supreme Court redefined what God had already defined, Obama came out and said, this is not going to impact you at all. Gay marriage, you go live your life, they're going to go live theirs. John, that hasn't exactly worked out that way, has it?
Right.
It hasn't.
So let me throw something out there. Let me say a guy comes to my door, a couple of people are carrying a book, and they said, hey, bang on my door, I want you to read this. Why are they coming to my door to tell me what to read?
I have no idea. What is it? Red Book? Ladies' Home Journal?
Jehovah's Witness. They pile out and they do this. Okay, I'm not saying they're Christians, but they do it.
Oh, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
They had the off my.
Okay, you can't use that kind of language, John. Good luck trying. All right, John. Better luck next time. Just put a sign up. Say, no soliciting. Just put a sign up if you don't want people knocking on your door. But there's a big difference, John, between people knocking on your door and people punching you in the face. And that's exactly what these trans activists are doing out there. And I have no problem standing up to them on this program. None whatsoever. By the way, just writing this down, we'll try to post this on the website. November 5th is Transparent Day, like not transparent, like I can't see you. No, it's Transgender Parent Day. Then November 8th is Intersex Day of Remembrance. It's over 140, 150. LGBT holidays that we have now. I'm curious, how many of these are you celebrating? The International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, and Transphobia. You've got the National Coming Out Day. That's October 11th. Gender Fluid Visibility Week. That's a whole week. October 17th through the 24th. And then October 19th. Oh, this is going to be exciting. We'll have to try this one out. International Pronoun Day. And then October 26th, Intersex Awareness Day. The entire month of November. We will not be celebrating Thanksgiving this year, ladies and gentlemen. And the reason why is the Bidens will be issuing a proclamation declaring the entire month of November Transgender Awareness Month. So you've got the entire month of October is LGBT History Month, and now you've got the entire month of November, which is Transgender Awareness Month, and then you've got the entire month of June, which is Gay Pride Month. You know what, folks, we're going to have to add a few more months to the calendar just to get all of this in there. Hallmark, they're going to have to, like, I don't know, add additional square footage to get all of the cards in there. Because I got to go buy somebody a Gender Fluid Visibility Week card and maybe a wet wipe. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. Speaker Johnson is on the hot seat. We're going to tell you all about that coming up next. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, well, I knew this was going to happen. Hello, everybody. Good to have you with us. Todd Starnes here. And KJP, the practicing lesbian press secretary, is out there in front of the cameras. And just mere moments ago, she was asked by a member of the drive-by media about President Biden's, no, not the sniffing of the child, but that may come later. We'll keep you updated on that. Oh, by the way, we have video. We officially have the video of President Biden sniffing the child, and we have multiple angles of the sniffage. So if you go to ToddStearns.com right now, you'll be able to see that. Anyway, back to KJP. Just mere moments ago, from the White House podium, she is telling you that what we all know to be true is not true. She is now saying that President Biden did not declare Easter Sunday as Transgender Day of Visibility.
So the criticism over the Transgender Day of Visibility, the White House said that the president wouldn't abuse his faith for political purposes. Does the president think that's what Republicans are doing?
I mean, look, just a couple of things. And really so surprised by the misinformation that's been out there around this. And I want to be very clear. Every year for the past several years, on March 31st, Transgender Day of Visibility is marked. And as we know, for folks who understand the calendar and how it works, Easter falls on different Sundays, right? Every year. And this year, it happened to coincide with Transgender Visibility Day. And so that is the simple fact. That is what has happened. That is where we are. And I do want to say a couple of things because I think it's important here. As you just stated in your questions, what we've been hearing out there, a lot of misinformation done on purpose. And as a Christian who celebrates Easter with family, President Biden stands for bringing people together and upholding the dignity and freedoms of every American. Now, sadly, and it's not surprising, right? It is actually unsurprising that politicians are seeking to divide and weaken our country with cruel, hateful, and dishonest rhetoric. It is dishonest what we have heard the past 24 hours. It is untrue what we heard over the weekend.
No, it is the absolute truth. And this woman, KJP, the practicing lesbian, is literally lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, and she is hoping that all of you people out there across the fruited plain, yes, I said fruited plain, all of you people out there are so consumed with everything else in life that you are not paying enough, you're not paying attention enough to know what actually went down over the weekend. And ladies and gentlemen, the fact remains, the Biden administration issued a proclamation declaring Transgender Visibility Day. They did not issue a proclamation declaring March 31st as Easter Sunday. I mean, it's that's the facts of the matter. They could have celebrated the risen Savior, but instead they're celebrating men who like to run around in ladies' underpants. And I've got no beef with that. It's America. If that's how you want to live your life, then go forth. But that's what's going on right just mere moments ago. And we've got to get to Mike Johnson in just a moment, but I want to go to the phones. Lee is listening to us in North Carolina and wants to weigh in on all of this. All right, Lee, what you got for us?
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know that there is such a thing as being born again of the devil's seed. It's basically when you confess Lucifer as your Lord and Savior, and that's what Joe Biden has done. Now, of course...
Oh, you think he's a devil worshiper?
Well, not just a worshiper. He's born again of his seed.
Oh.
He's got bad seed in him. And also, the term Easter is originally a pagan word. It's talking about a pagan goddess. So we really should be calling it Resurrection Day rather than Easter.
Well, I get all that, and I don't get, you know, again, I'm celebrating the risen Savior. That's who I celebrated yesterday when I went to church on Sunday. But I hear your point. I am intrigued, though, by I haven't heard anybody say that Joe Biden is now a born again follower, a disciple of the devil. That to me is interesting. It would make a lot of sense because there's a lot of satanic nonsense coming out of that White House. Lee, appreciate that call. By the way, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And a lot of people say, well, why are you so riled up about this, Starnes? I'm going to tell you, I just finished writing a book about this. And my great concern is that we are untethered as a country to the founding principles of this great nation. And if we keep going down this path, it is going to lead to death and destruction for all of us. We have an opportunity to turn around. We've got the opportunity. The question is, what are we going to do about it? So this item from the National Organization of Gals, NAG, these are the feminists, and they are now defending the transgender athletes. So there is a lawsuit that's been filed. So you've got Riley Gaines and all of these girls, and they're suing the NCAA over transgender policies. And so now NAG, the National Association of Gals, NAG is now announcing that they are standing in solidarity with the transgender people. Writing on their Twitter feed, weaponizing womanhood against other women is white supremacist patriarchy at work. So now they're blaming all of you white men out there for this. Making people believe there isn't enough space for trans women in sports is white supremacist patriarchy at work. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? Is that really the case here? I mean, it seems to me that if you are a coach, and by and large, most of the coaches in America happen to be white guys, I would say. I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but it seems to me that these coaches would actually be embracing this whole transgender movement only because they know with a team full of men, they're going to be able to beat the women. Right? I mean, we have seen this play out. We know how all of this ends. So, and I actually have a chapter on this in my book. It's a parody chapter based on, I have a copy of the book right here. I'll tell you exactly what chapter for those of you who are reading. Chapter 14, Trans Species Swimmer Makes History. And it tells the story of the first dolphin who identifies as a human being allowed to compete in the NCAA Swimming Championship. It's a pretty funny chapter, if I do say so myself. But anyway, now you've got these feminists who are coming out against their own kind. And they're basically saying that men make better women than women do. No, I'm not making this up. It's all, go to their website, the National Organization for Women, also known as NAGS. And you can see it for yourself. All right, let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Lucy is listening to us on WTJS. All right, Lucy, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Praise the Lord that he has risen. And I do believe that Biden and his team are playing an April Fool's joke on us about what they said yesterday, making us think that they did not say what they did, calling it transgender, whatever, Sunday. But you know what? They are the fools because they are not following God.
Well, no doubt about that. So you think this was, they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes here, Lucy, and this is a big April Fool's gotcha.
Yes, I really do.
Yeah, I hope it is, but I don't think it is, Lucy. I think they really believe they can pull a fast one on the American people.
They do, and we know they are liars because their father is the father of lies, and that is Satan.
Verily, verily. All right, Lucy, thank you for that. That's some knowledge right there, but there you go. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So a bunch of black mayors got together of some of the most dangerous cities in America, and they got together in Memphis, Tennessee last week. And the whole point of this was to figure out how to resolve crime. So this was all done on the taxpayer dime. Folks from, I think, St. Louis, Chicago, New York City, everybody was there. Big, big turnout. And it was behind closed doors. They refused to allow the press inside. And they said the reason why is they had to talk frankly about things. And we don't know what they talked about. But now they're getting a little bit of blowback because some people in the media are saying, well, okay, how come you didn't invite any white mayors? And don't get me wrong here, and hear me on this. There are white mayors of Democrat cities where crime is relatively under control. So why would you not invite those white Democrats? Why would you only invite black Democrats to your gathering? Well, the mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, Paul Young, was on CNN, and he was explaining all of this to us. Cut number 10.
You were on the show a couple of weeks ago because you'd gone and met with gang leaders to try to bring down gun violence in Memphis. Explain the catalyst for this coalition with mayors across the country.
Well, you know, we're in a point in history where we have African-American mayors that are leading large and small cities all across the country. You know, you look at New York, L.A., Atlanta, Chicago, Philly, Memphis, Jackson, Mississippi, St. Louis. And so I thought it was important for us to have a dialogue around crime. We know that African-American communities are often most impacted by crime. And so I thought it was important for us to have the direct dialogue of how we're going to address it in our respective cities.
Mayor Young, this was a coalition of black mayors, but you talked about the issues in black communities. There are obviously plenty of black people who live in big cities that have white mayors. You think of Mayor Duggan in Detroit. You've got Donna Deegan in Jacksonville. Is this open to non-black mayors to impact black communities they serve?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the black mayors were the catalyst. We certainly invite any and all that want to help resolve issues in our community. We know that there are many people that are feeling the impact of crime across this country, and our overall goal is to ensure that our communities are safe.
Okay, so that guy is lying because the actual title of the group is the Black Mayors Coalition, and the fact is they did not invite any white mayors to attend this gathering. None whatsoever. Here's the mayor of Jackson, Mississippi. Cut number 9.
Mayor Lumumba, what did you learn more than, and this was the inaugural meeting, more than the introductions? I'm sure you've known some of these mayors for some time. What practically did you learn that you can bring back to your city to continue to bring down violent crime?
Well, Victor, first, let me begin by commending my friend and Memphis Mayor, Mayor Young, for having the foresight to bring us all together. I think now more than ever, our communities need to be represented by those who love us most. And so we had a robust conversation.
Okay, stop. That's it. By those who love us most. That's that's code for it ain't you white folk. That's what that's code for. So that's Mayor Mumbumbo from Jackson, Mississippi. By the way, one little note on this, and we've got to run to break here real quick. So there was a horrible, horrible murder. There's a white guy, and his nickname around town is the Watermelon Man because he would sell watermelons out of the back of his pickup truck in one of the nice areas of Memphis. So anyway, the watermelon guy got robbed and was shot to death, gunned down in cold blood. And they arrested a black kid, and charged him with the murder. Heinous. It's just awful. And a horrible, horrible story. So the other day, word came down in Memphis that a black judge, and this is a big problem in this city, a black judge decided to grant the kid accused of murder bail. And it's some pitiful, tiny little amount. Long story short, the alleged killer's back out on the streets of Memphis, and people are going nuts over all of this. Even the radical district attorney, which is kind of shocking. But the reality is, you have, and you can't tell me that race did not play a factor in all of this. You can't tell me that. And I feel horrible for the family of this beloved man who was earning an honest day's wage, selling watermelons out of the back of his truck, and he was gunned down, life snuffed out by a thug. Anyway, the mayors need to be talking about that. That's what they need to be talking about. Okay, got to take a break. Taking your calls when we come back. Plus, Mike Johnson on the hot seat. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. In the meantime, head over to ToddStearns.com, folks. Check out our awesome store. We have all sorts of great new products for you to get there, including an autographed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back. Let's go to the phone lines here. Mike, listening to us on WCBM, our great affiliate in Maryland. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I wanted to tell you, I listened to the 3-minute clip by President Trump endorsing Lee Greenwood's
Oh, God Bless the USA Bible.
God Bless the USA Bible. And I've asked my children to get the Bible for me for my birthday, April 28th, and they will do that. They'll split the cost. It's going to be my go-to Bible. And I wanted to, do you want to know why I couldn't buy the Bible myself?
I'm curious.
I can't buy the Bible myself. I have to rely on my children because I have to pay nearly $5,000 in federal income tax to Joe Biden for such virtuous activities as late-term abortions, killing babies, and cash debit cards to illegal immigrants.
Wow. That's an interesting way to frame it, Mike. I got to tell you, it's really unfortunate that so many people are struggling in Biden's economy, which has really been painful, especially for the middle class.
Yeah. Todd, I want to tell you, your program is so great. I love listening to it.
Well, Mike, thank you for that. It sounds like you've got some great kids, too. That's pretty awesome. And let me know what you think when you get the Bible. I've got a copy of that. It's a beautiful gift Bible, and love it. And I'd love to hear what you think about it when you get your copy. Mike, God bless you. And thanks for listening to us on WCBM. By the way, speaking of that, the new minimum wage goes into effect in California today, and $20 an hour, that's what the fast food workers are going to be getting. And we're hearing that everybody's raising prices. For example, you're going to be paying over $20 for the footlong at Subway. So if you're going to get one of the big sandwiches there, it's going to be insane. All right, hang tight, folks. We're going to the phones, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, Speaker Mike Johnson. Oh, boy. You're not going to believe this. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. By the way, I've got to tell you, our friends over at Newsmax conducting their big poll, and this is going to be a pretty massive poll. They want to know, according to Newsmax, who do you think ought to be Trump's vice president? All you have to do is get out your smartphone and text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Here's what's going to happen. Newsmax will send you a link to the poll, and you'll be able to cast your vote, and it's really up to you. Who do you think? It's not a multiple choice. Who do you think Trump ought to pick? Again, text that word SKIP to 39747. Let your voice be heard. Vote right now. All right, let's go to Jerry in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I caught most of the first hour of your program, and I'm just now getting a chance to comment about your comments that there's no such thing as transsexualism and so forth and so on. Todd, you should have been under the tutelage of my grandmother. She said something really wise. She said, it's one thing to be ignorant, but don't open your mouth and let everybody in the world know that you're ignorant. And that's what you're doing. If you don't believe in science or medicine, then let everybody know that you don't believe that. Now, psychiatry is a form of net medicine, and there's such a thing as the psychological profiling. Now, there are transsexuals that God created just like
Where is that, Jerry? Where is that in the Holy Scriptures that God created transsexuals?
I'm so glad you mentioned in Deuteronomy.
No, sir.
Talk about it.
All right. No, sir.
No.
Let me.
But Jesus.
Jerry, you're going to let me talk here. Hold on. I've let you have your say, and I'm going to respond to that. God made male and female. That's it. Now, there are some who would say, well, what about the eunuchs in the Bible? Well, if you do your theology and you do your theological homework, you would discover that those are individuals who could not procreate, right? So we're not talking about transgender. That word does not appear in Holy Scripture. Transsexual does not appear in Holy Scripture. God made male and female, and the whole purpose of male and female is to procreate. That is the purpose of having a male and having a female. So, Jerry, the issue here is, and now, are there people out there who think they're transgender? Yeah, there are. But those people are dealing with a mental illness, and they need to be treated as such. They used to treat people for that not too long ago, Jerry, but they've decided that they're not going to do that anymore. They're going to embrace that as a reality.
Wrong, wrong, wrong.
How is it wrong? How is it wrong, Jerry? They were they were categorizing transgenderism for many, many decades.
You are ignorant to science. You are ignorant. That means you ignore.
No, I know what ignorant means.
Well, you're ignoring science.
How am I ignoring science?
Because you can read that there are, the way God created some people, their hypothalamus in the brain is
yes, it's a mental illness. It's an illness that needs to be treated, not celebrated.
It's a physiological illness. And what happens if it's not treated? These kids commit suicide.
This is nothing more than a cultural trend. That's what it is. And when you look at the insane explosion and the number of people who are suddenly identifying as transgender, and most of those people are under the age of 18, and most of those are young girls, that tells me that there is some sort of a grooming system underway in our public education system.
More ignorance that you're spouting. More ignorance. What you need to know, I don't care if 4% of them claim it or not, a psychiatrist or a group of psychiatrists.
It's not natural. This is not, something is going on here, and they're, again, they're polluting the minds of the children in these public school classrooms. That's what's going on. And Jerry, if you, I'm again, to borrow a word that you've been using quite a bit, for you to fail to see that is in fact ignorant. So, Jerry, appreciate the call. And folks, you heard Jerry says that yours truly is ignorant. I'm fairly certain I am not. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So look, Speaker Mike Johnson is on the hot seat, and there are a lot of other conservatives that are beginning to back MTG's motion to vacate the chair. Now, here's what's possibly going to happen this week, and you just need to be aware. There will be an effort made by Speaker Johnson and Chuckie Schumer to push through funding for Ukraine. If that happens, at what point do you say, okay, what is the point? Why do we have a Republican in the speakership if he's going to bend over and take one upside the wazoo from the Democrats every single time there's a tough vote? Now, Speaker Johnson was on Fox last night on very friendly turf, and the speaker is calling out MTG, says this is just a distraction. Cut number 23.
Speaker, there is a pending motion to vacate from a member from Georgia, which sort of illustrates where we are politically. We lost two Senate seats in Georgia. Republicans did, two eminently winnable Senate seats. I would think members' time would be better spent looking to reclaim those two GOP, those two Senate seats in Georgia, as opposed to hanging the sword of Damocles over your head. But you're on Easter recess right now. How does it help the GOP grow the majority to be talking about a motion to vacate instead of talking about the border or inflation or other issues that are better for the GOP? How does this motion to vacate help win back the majority or win a bigger majority?
I don't think it does. And I think all of my other Republican colleagues recognize this is a distraction from our mission. Again, the mission is to save the republic. And the only way we can do that is if we grow the House majority, win the Senate, and win the White House. So we don't need any dissension right now. Look, Marjorie Taylor Greene filed the motion. It's not a privileged motion, so it doesn't move automatically. It's just hanging there. And she's frustrated. She and I exchanged text messages even today. We're going to talk early next week. Marjorie's a friend. She's very frustrated about, for example, the last appropriations bills. Guess what? So am I. As we discussed, Trey, these are not the perfect pieces of legislation that you and I and Marjorie would draft if we had the ability to do it differently. But with the smallest margin in U.S. history, we're sometimes going to get legislation that we don't like. And the Democrats know that when we don't all stand together with our razor-thin majority, then they have a better negotiation position. And that's why we got some of the things we didn't like. Now, we fought like warrior poets to keep some of those Senate appropriations or some of those Senate earmarks out of the bill. And we were successful in getting a lot of the terrible stuff out. But a few of them made it through, and that's what Marjorie's upset about, and I am too. But I want to talk with her about reforming the budgeting and spending process going forward. That's what Republicans are for. That's the transformational kind of changes that we can forge if we all stand together.
All right, let me jump in here. All right, we're done with you, Trey Gowdy. So look, here's the deal. And folks, again, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So here's the deal. Everything you just heard Speaker Johnson say is a defeated man. Well, we just don't have a super large majority. It's the closest majority, the most slender margin in all of history. And, well, we got to be able to work with the Democrat. No, you don't have to work with the Democrats. You have a majority. Put that majority to work, sir. There's no he's up there. Well, I was just as upset about that spending bill as MTG was. Then why didn't you do anything about it? Why didn't you stand up and condemn it? And why didn't you challenge all of the Republicans and even those godless heathen Democrats, sir? Why didn't you get up from the rostrum and say, we can't be funding. We can't be funding late-term abortion clinics. We shouldn't be funding gay garden parties in Colorado. We shouldn't be funding all of this stuff because we don't have the money. And there are more important things that we need to be focused on. He didn't do any of that. None of it. So what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to be inspired by Mike Johnson, who just announced on Fox News that he surrendered? Well, there's nothing we can do. We got to have more people. Folks, I am so tired of that. I am so tired of the Republicans and the whininess every single time. Well, if we just had a majority in the Senate, we could do something, but we only have a majority in the House, and it's not that big of a majority. So what do we did? What did we do? In 2016, we gave them everything. Well, I know we have the Senate now, but well, we need a bigger majority in the Senate. No, you've got the majority. That means there are more of you than them. Use that to your advantage. It at some point, the American people are just sitting here. They're just bashing their heads into the TV screens. But that's who these people are. And that's why Speaker Johnson's got to go. Got to go. He's got to go. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to Bill in Cordova, Tennessee. KWAM is our great radio affiliate there. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I was listening a few minutes ago to Jerry, the guy that called you ignorant. I gotta ask, Todd. I understand. I don't understand how why we're letting our children get indoctrinated in these schools and all this transgender business that they're indoctrinated into. But how does a person like Jerry get where he is? The man is lost if he thinks this is okay at any level. I agree with you. It is, by and large, with very, very, very few exceptions, an illness. But I just don't know. I don't understand how people like Jerry get in that mindset where he thinks this is okay.
Well, it sounds like he's a Democrat. Well, he could be a Democrat. Exactly. And that explains a lot.
Yeah, it does, especially when he started calling you ignorant. That's usually the first go-to name-calling when a Democrat feels threatened by what you're saying and they can't argue with you. Then they resort to name-calling, and if that doesn't work, then it's violence.
Well, that's true, and that's a fair point. And we either get people like Jerry, and I don't mind if Jerry wants to come on and call me ignorant. All right, fine. But he could not defend his argument. He had no substance to back up what he was trying to say.
No, he didn't. And you asked him point blank why he thought that was okay, and he just if you don't see why, it's you're ignorant. You know, that just doesn't make sense to me.
All right.
And to try to pin it on the Bible and say that God said this is okay.
No, we're not going to let anybody get away with that. That's right. All right, Bill, appreciate the call there. It's a good thought. Let's go to Betty in North Carolina. Hi, Betty. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm concerned. We only have one Republican representative left with our Congress. And if we get rid of, and I agree with with MJT, but we can't afford to lose another member. And Hakeem Jeffries is sitting in the Democrat Party, just licking his lips. He wants to get a hold of the Congress, and that's my big concern if we get rid of Mike Johnson.
Well, we're not. So Mike Johnson would not. No. So let me explain how this works, Betty. So Mike Johnson would not lose his seat in the Congress. So there would not be any sort of a shuffle there. He would just go back to being a regular congressman. But the issue, and it is a fair point, is the concern is if we lose any more, or if some of these moderate Republicans, these rhinos, if they switch over, that Hakeem Jeffries could be the next Speaker of the House. Betty, here's my response to that. How has Mike Johnson been any different than a Hakeem Jeffries would be?
Yes, it's the D after his name.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only difference.
I'm just scared of what he'll do. But I don't trust them. I don't, period, don't trust the Democrat. That's what it is.
Well, you're a wise woman. Yes, you should. And you should not trust the Democrats. And especially when they'll lie to your face, just like they just did. KJP just did. Betty, appreciate that call. You hang in there. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hi, Miss Janice. What's going on?
Yes, Todd. I would like to tell that gentleman that called that you're not ignorant. Now,
well, thank you.
What's happening today is wrong on many levels. Now, I ask myself, who put this in this child's head that they like a boy? I saw a picture years ago. It's online. I'm sure it's still online, of Angelina Jolie's daughter. I almost said son. But to look at this child, you would think you were looking at a very, very cute young boy, Shiloh, Jolie Pitt is the name of the child, Shiloh, Jolie Pitt.
Well, that's
and
awful.
Now, when you look at Shiloh is wearing a dress and looking more like a girl. But I asked myself, who put that into that child's head in the first place? Was it the child, or was it Angelina Jolie? Now, they had a teacher in a school, and the teacher looked freaky. Look, God made man and woman. That's all there is. There's no non-binary. You can't be a chicken, a duck, or a bat, or a rat, or a cat. I'm sorry. It doesn't work like this. And they had this teacher, and she's holding up a doll. I think this would still be on YouTube if somebody wants to look it up. She's holding a doll in her hand. She's showing this doll to children, like maybe 3 years old, in like kindergarten class thing. And she's telling him, you can be, his, whatever the name of the doll is, he's non-binary. You can be whatever you want to be. And what was really more shocking was I'm looking at these kids and they're sitting there smiling, shaking their heads and going, yes, yes. And I'm thinking, my God, this is absolutely sinful. Now, I know you're selling a book right now that I'm most probably going to get, but can I mention something about another book? Is that okay?
Well, let's, no, because we're running up against the clock here, Miss Janice, but I do want to remedy one thing. I want to send you a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, if you'll let me do that.
Well, that's okay. No, I need it in Kindle. I'm going to get it in Kindle format.
Oh, all
no,
right. Well,
a book.
Okay,
it's about
well,
the demon. It's about the demon.
You've got 10
it's
seconds, Miss Janice.
Demon.
What's the name of the book? Real quick. People. What's the name of the book? Real quick, 10
okay.
seconds. 10 seconds.
Jonathan Cahn, The Return of the God.
All right, great. All right, we got it. Miss Janice, thank you. So, anyway, you heard it. Jonathan Cahn. All right, we've got to take a break. Hang tight, folks. And look, let's not be promoting the, you know, again, we're trying to open up the phone lines for as much time as possible. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, coming up, there is a big, big conference happening in Texas. We're going to be talking to one of the organizers about that coming up in the next hour. Also, we're going to be taking your calls, continuing this conversation on Speaker Mike Johnson. Do you believe that he is the man, he deserves to stay as Speaker of the House, or do you believe he ought to be removed from leadership? Again, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. By the way, speaking of telephone numbers, head over to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. Best cell phone coverage in America, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something, Patriot Mobile, if you give them a call, 972-PATRIOT, and use my code SPRING24, that's SPRING24, they're going to give you the first month free of charge. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Use that SPRING24 code and you get the first month free. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the program. Great to have you with us. By the way, President Biden giving a special Easter greeting today at the White House. Oh, you're going to want to hear this. Cut 24.
And I'm coming down to do that Easter egg roll in just a minute. Thank you all so very, very much. Thanks, everybody. And by the way, say hello to Oyster Bunnies. Come on up, buddy.
Yes.
Get up here.
Say
that you
hello
see.
To those Oyster Bunnies.
Come on, get in there.
Oh, my goodness. All right, there you go. President Biden, they forgot to put the special sauce in the porridge this morning. It was really hard to hear the president. Oh, we do have an update. Apparently, not only did the president sniff one child, he made another child burst out into tears. It was very traumatic video. We're not going to share that, but you can find it on X. All right. A lot going on this hour of the program. Our telephone number, if you want to call in, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Vicki in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM. Vicki, what's on your mind today?
Well, Todd, I just wanted to wish you a late happy Easter and also a happy Easter Monday.
Well, yes, you know, this is interesting, Vicki. A lot of people don't realize that there is an actual holiday called Easter Monday.
There is. And by the way, as of today, the teachers and children in Germantown will celebrate that, but this time next year they will not because the school board decided to take Easter Monday away.
So this is Germantown, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Memphis, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a rather, Vicki, I think it's safe to call it affluent neighborhood, And I was shocked when I moved there. I just thought it was a conservative area. But the more I hear about the shenanigans of your of the local school district there, I'm beginning to wonder.
Well, it's very interesting, their reasoning. They're trying to say that there were dates that children would have to stay in school at the end of the year, and this would work out so much better if they just took it away. But, you know, I started thinking about that after they said that, and I thought, you know, there are always snow days. They always have extra days, you know. And what they do usually is they wrap them up at the end of the year, you know, if you don't use them. So, in other words, if you've got a couple of snow days, they'll just say, oh, guess what? You get out a couple of days earlier. And they can adjust that. They've always done that, as long as they have the number of days, you know, that they've attended school. But it just so happens that they decided to take Easter Monday away because there were some people that don't like the word Easter on the calendar. And I think that's the main reason. As you well know, you actually introduced this when they started trying to take away Good Friday and change it to spring weekend.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Yeah, I actually went down to the school board meeting and had my say.
Did.
And I think we were able to save Good Friday, but Easter Monday, we were not able to save.
Right, right. And it's just one of those things that it's interesting, though. I've spoken with several teachers that are friends, and they're really upset about it because, you know, they're teaching. They have to finish Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening. And, you know, they're Fridays, so sometimes still working on school things, even though it's a holiday. And then this gives them a day so they can enjoy their entire day, and then they have all day Monday to either get back and travel or whatever they need to be done, or even if they need an in-service day to get ready for the rest of the week. And why would you take that away from your teachers? I just think that's really odd.
Now, this is the same school district, and we talked about this last week, where they were celebrating Ramadan. They were doing some sort of a Ramadan party for teachers and staff. And they had some anti-Israeli war propaganda material that was there. It was really just insane what's going on in that school district there in Germantown, Tennessee.
It is. And I wonder if they would do the same for others who brought in, you know, resurrection eggs and things like that. Would they allow that, you know, to go on if that would be allowed in the school? I'm curious about that, if they would have. And also, you know, they also advertised it and you know, and talked about how great it was. So I just thought that was very interesting. I have no problem with that unless if it's across the board and everybody can do that, that's great. But don't select and choose one over another.
And the way they did it, it was so obvious, is that, you know, well, they said, well, the Muslim children are going through a difficult time during the war. Well, you know what? So are the Jewish students. But they don't. There was nothing. Nothing about the Jewish students. So that tells me there's an agenda. It sounds like they've got an infestation of wokeness there in the Germantown Municipal School District.
There's something going on. There is. And I plan on trying to get more involved and see what I can do to.
Good for you. Good for you. We need good, strong conservative patriots running for school board across America. So, Vicki, appreciate that call and keep us updated. Appreciate the intel there. What a crazy story. Happening in a southern school district where they get rid of Easter Monday. That's sad. All right, let's go to Barry in Florida. Hi, Barry. What's on your mind?
Earlier was talking with someone that was talking about the number of kids that commit suicide because they weren't allowed to be transgender, whatever. No. It's not how it really works. But it really works, and you could look it up yourself, is that in 2022, the number of kids that thought about suicide and actually committed suicide were 80% of the transgender children. These children, this is an emotional problem. We are emotional beings. And these children are insecure. They have psychological problems as they're developing their minds. And people are taking advantage of those problems in the children to actually indoctrinate them into absolutely off-the-wall things that hits them later in life, and that's why the suicide rate is so high. This is so sick. It's so beyond sick. It's not even funny. And anyone that supports this, got to go to see a doctor because you've got some problems yourself.
Well, Barry, I'll take it a step further. There's some Gallup did a study they published in 2022. Now, get this. They say that in the last 10 years, this would have been 2012 to 2022, that the number of people of U.S. adults, all right, we're not even talking about kids, but just adults that now identify as something other than heterosexual doubled from 3.5% to well over 7% now. That just tells me this is not some sort of a natural evolutionary thing. This is propaganda that's being shoved down the throats and into the minds of American people.
I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what's going on, and the schools are responsible for it heavily. They don't hear the politics too much, the kids, but in school they're indoctrinated, and it's very important for parents when the kids come home to ask them how they did in school. What did they learn? What did the teachers say? I did that with my children when they were growing up. That was what we did over dinner. We sat, we spoke about how their day went, what happened in school. Parents got to be parents again. They're not their friends. If they're not their kids' friends, they're parents, and they've got to make sure the kids are on the right track. Super important.
Well,
and I'm very old, so I got to tell you, I've been through the whole thing.
You don't sound very old, Barry.
My grandchildren, my children are taking care of their kids in the right way. But I got to tell you, I just hope parents get heavily involved and don't take this stuff because it's nonsense. It's just a pure indoctrination. I don't know where the schools picked this stuff up or why they even thought this made any sense, but they are. You know, I'm sure a lot of teachers don't want to do it, but they're forced to do it. Mm.
All right, Barry, got to leave it there. Appreciate that call. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926. James Carville is back at it again. He is the famed Democrat strategist, the guy behind Bill Clinton's great success, and he is fired up. I'm fired up, y'all. This is unacceptable what's happening right now to the Democrat Party. I'm fired up, and y'all better be paying attention to me. Cut number 22.
You know, I've been very vocal about this. It's horrifying. Our numbers among younger voters, younger people of color, particularly males, we're not shedding them. They're leaving in the droves.
Well, they are, and this is fascinating. They're not talking a lot about this, but younger voters are looking at Trump, and they see a guy who is talking their language. They see a man who has a sense of humor. They see a man who has been very successful in life, and they see a man with a beautiful wife and a lot of money and his own airplane, and every young man in America is looking at that, and they're like, hey, that's what I want, right? I mean, if you're a guy and you're just being honest, right? Just be honest with yourself. And I'm talking about you soy boy folks with the man buns. Just for a second, just be honest with yourself. Would you rather have a wife who is a member of the queer fat club? Or would you rather have a wife that is smoking hot like Melania Trump? I mean, just a question. By the way, speaking of queer fat club, cut number 4.
This is a queer fat club.
I'm queer and fat.
Okay, thank you for joining. We're just introducing ourselves at the moment.
Okay.
Do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, Joe?
Yeah, my name's Joe. I go by he, they, and I identify as 275 pounds.
Sweet Lord.
Okay.
I feel like Jay's kind of making fun of me, though. I know it's kind of a shock. I know. Kind of a new thing.
I'm just, monk.
Do what?
I said I apologize.
Oh, no, you're good.
Are you comfortable leaving the group at the moment?
Why?
I'm not understanding why you're joining the group.
This is the queer and fat group now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I came here for.
Okay. And you said you identify as fat?
Yeah.
Okay. This is just for fat-bodied people.
Yeah, I understand. I identify as a fat-bodied person.
I'm not understanding where you're coming from.
Are you guys comfortable with me here? I mean, I'm pretty chill on my end.
I'm not comfortable, no.
Can we take, like, a vote?
I'm going to ask you to...
Oh, so this is really fascinating, and I love this. This is from the interwebs. So there's such a thing called the Queer Fat Club. And so the young man you just heard there probably weighs about, 120 pounds wet. This guy is just he's a skinny fella, but he identifies as a fat person and a queer fat person. As a matter of fact, you heard his pronouns. What is it? He, they. So he's a he, theyer. So he's a member of the club. And so now all of the big fat lesbians don't want him to be a part of their club. This is shocking. Such intolerance among the morbidly obese lesbian community. I am just stunned. Now, if this young man, and I don't know what was his name again? We don't know, but he's a he-they. Those are his preferred pronouns. If this young, he's not a man, young man, young, what are we going to call him here? A young hebe? All right, young heve. If this young heve wants to identify as a fat-bottomed girl, what business is it of the overweight lesbian community? Why can't they just embrace him with open, flabby arms? I'm just asking. So, young man, person, they... you hang in there, sir. I'm confused now. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back. This is really a fascinating report. The Army. They are now indoctrinating your youngsters. This coming to us from our friends over at Campus Reform, a woke Army instructor at the Army University wanted to teach kids that racism is ingrained in American society and that whites specifically are responsible for the current racial bias. This coming from, again, Army University. That's in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. A slide of the class was sent to our friends at Libs of TikTok and then published on Campus Reform. The title of the lesson, We Have Come a Long Way, We Have a Long Way to Go. Among the things the professor told the students, the military members, race is a fictional social construct supported by economic needs of the 15th century, and further exacerbated by early anthropologists and humanist philosophers. You know, I wonder how long he had to go to write a sentence with that many words. It contends that even though race is fictional, it nonetheless grounds into global societal and economic fabric and enables the concepts of whiteness and blackness. Goes on to say that in the United States, racism is ingrained in current laws, systems, education, and individual collective biases. Oh, that's interesting. Now, the Army University is now saying that the instructor presented the material without official approval. They say the instructor in question was penalized when their actions came to light. Well, that's all well and good. First of all, this guy doesn't need to be teaching anywhere around any Army university. But here's my concern. Did they do a follow-up class where they told the students that were being brainwashed that, hey, you're not a bad person because you happen to be of the Caucasian persuasion? Anybody do that? One user writing on Twitter, attendees at the school will go all across the Army. They're going to be leading staffs and units. They're going to have significant influence. Some of them are going to be four-star generals, and they're being brainwashed with this evil racist crap. They're going to take this racism, embrace it, and spread it across the entire Army. And this is a valid concern here. So my question is, okay, great, you got rid of the teacher, hopefully. But my question is, what are you doing to undo all the damage? And people don't like to talk about that, but that is a big, big deal. By the way, have you read my new book? And if so, would love to hear from you. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we'd also love for you to go over to Amazon and post your review online. So we would love for you to do that. Go over to the book page on Amazon and you can leave your book review. Well, folks, I want to tell you about our good friend, Mike Lindell, and he always has a passion to help our great listeners, and he wants you to have the best sleep you can get. And I'm telling you, I sleep like a rock thanks to MyPillow, and I have the Giza Dream bed sheets too. Amazing. So for a limited time, get this. Mike's going to give you a queen-size set for $59.98. You're going to get king-size sheets for $69.98, the lowest price in history. Mike and MyPillow are still being canceled by a lot of the big box stores. They're being attacked by the media, so they need our help, and they appreciate our support. And I think we should return that support by getting out there and buying MyPillows and some of the other wonderful products. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Or give them a call, 1-800-839-8506. Use my promo code Starnes, by the way. That's 800-839-8506. Or go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. You will see all of the great products available. And be sure to use that promo code Starnes. We'll be right back, folks. All right, folks, coming up today, 5 o'clock on my Newsmax show, we're going to have a jam-packed conversation, including a spirited debate about the president's transgender remarks. We're going to keep you updated on that. Again, that's 5 o'clock Eastern time on Newsmax, the Todd Starnes show. All right, there is a big gathering that is coming up in Texas at Prestonwood Baptist Church. It's called the Chosen Conference. By the way, you might remember, you might be asking yourself, why does that name sound familiar? Well, we just played some audio of Pastor Jack Graham speaking at Sunday's Easter service, where he gave President Biden a good tongue lashing. So this is a great church. It's a massive church, and they're hosting an incredible conference. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. And we're honored to have Dr. Jeremiah Johnston with us, the associate pastor at Prestonwood. Dr. Johnston, good to have you on the show today.
You know, Todd, it's so great to be with you. I love your voice, love your show, and it's time we have a little visibility for the 400,000 children who are U.S. citizens who are currently in our foster care system. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a good thing, and you certainly are going to be doing that with some pretty big speakers, Sadie Robertson Huff, Governor Greg Abbott, among others. Tell us about the conference and what you guys are going to be doing, how we can get involved.
You know, we've called an emergency summit at Prestonwood Baptist Church, which is located right here in North Texas, where God has a second home, Todd, as you know. And for anyone, we have people coming from across the nation, April 13. It's an all-day conference, as you kindly mentioned. And we're doing three things, Todd. We want to empower local churches like Prestonwood, like-minded churches who are pro-life, to first just help them know how to establish an adoption and foster care ministry within their church. We've been doing it for years. That's why we call it the Chosen Conference. We have a chosen ministry, one of our 150 ministries. Second thing we want to do is really engage all Christians to understand their role. Every Christian has a role in supporting adoption and foster care. We also want to encourage families who are adopted. Todd, I've been doing media around the show, around this conference now, and I've just met so many wonderful people, even in media, who either they were adopted or they've adopted or they were fostered, and we just need to encourage those folks out there. And so on April 13, the conference is at Prestonwood. If you can't get to North Texas, it's also going to be streamed. Pastors are comped. So if you're a pastor listening, we have a promo code. We'll pay for you to come to the conference and give you a free conference. So really love to have people know about this, because every child, we believe, Todd, is a wanted child. There's no such thing as an unwanted child.
Let's and by the way, it's folks, if you're anywhere within 5 or 6 hours of Texas, head on over there. If you're over in Arkansas or in Tennessee, you're going to have to drive down. You're going to drive right past a Buc-ee's, which, again, is another good reason to go down that way. So
exactly.
I'm just saying.
Exactly.
So, look, let's talk about Roe v. Wade, the aftermath of Roe v. Wade. What have you guys seen in Texas? Clearly, there is a need here because you're hosting this emergency summit. But what did you guys discover after Roe v. Wade was overturned?
Well, that's a great question, Todd. You always ask great questions. First, we have more kids being born. Praise God, right? We have more babies being born. It's harder to have an abortion in the state of Texas. And as you know, we've been in this fight for a long time. Our pastor, Dr. Graham, had a vision 30 years ago to start pregnancy crisis centers. We have three different crisis pregnancy centers, and we have a $1 million mobile unit that drives around to help moms just get through it. I mean, we have essentially a Babies R Us where we give things away. Wow. So, I mean, we've been in this fight for a long time. But what we're noticing more recently is we have more babies being born. And so we have more babies being put up for adoption. And we need to help them understand how we can connect them with Christian families. Because the knock, Todd, you know this, the knock from the media is we only care about babies being born. We don't care about anything happening after that. That's the criticism from the left since Roe v. Wade ended the rights to abortion federally. And so we really are saying that we care about every child from the womb to the tomb. And a lot of that is there's tension there. We want to get pastors in the fight. We need pastors to stop being silent. We need pastors also are busy. I get that. I've been one for years. We need to give, they're going to walk away after one day with us with essentially an adoption foster care ministry in a box of how you do this, how you engage, how you work with other organizations. I don't know if you saw this, Todd. We have over 50 organizations like Lifeline, other adoption and pro-life organizations that have not only sponsored the conference, but they're going to be there with tables giving away things. I mean, it's going to be a whole exhibition to help equip families how to adopt children. And, you know, the problem's serious. Here in Texas, you asked about Texas, we've grown to 30,000 children in foster care. 6,000 of those right now, Todd, as of today, are available for adoption just in Texas. 1,000 of those kids in the foster care system are going to age out every single year. And I like to say it this way, Todd, children are the most unreached people group in the United States right now. And again, we're just talking about the U.S. citizens who are under the age of 18. It's far more for those that are undocumented who need families.
Well, I think this is a terrific thing. And again, folks, this is Saturday, April 13th, Prestonwood Baptist Church. And if you would like information, go to the website, prestonwood.org/chosen. That's prestonwood.org/chosen. And you're going to find information on all the speakers, the schedule, the breakout sessions. It is very, very thorough there. Dr. Johnson, I know we have a lot of people across the country listening right now. They may not be able to make it to the conference. You mentioned they can watch it. They can. You guys are going to be streaming it. But I am real curious. Absolutely. Here, and we've got a couple of minutes. So, but what is the role? What is one thing that the church needs to be doing in this post Roe v. Wade world?
That's a great question, Todd, and we need to take it right out of Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. Remember, who is the greatest? And do you remember the disciples were discussing who's the greatest? And do you remember what Jesus did in verse 36? And taking a child, he put a child in the midst of them, and he put his arms around that child, and he said, whoever receives one of these children, you receive me. I mean, think of that word picture in your mind, the imagery there of Jesus taking a child. We all know children were at a great disadvantage before the Jesus movement began 2,000 years ago, and we need to recover the great legacy of the Christian movement of caring and loving and restoring humanity to children. Because let me tell you, we have a lot of kids that need visibility today, Todd. That's what gets me fired up. We have kids that need visibility to know they're not a mistake. They are wanted. Because let me tell you, you can't preach the gospel without talking about adoption. Literally, adoption is the gospel. And that's what I want Christians across the country. I know you have a large audience listening to this. According to a spirit of Mark 9, join us on April 13. Let us encourage, equip, and resource you. How, you know, you might be 55, 65, 75 listening right now, and you know, you're like, hey, I can't adopt a child, but hey, there's 10 other ways you can help us and help others, because we want to turn back the tide. And remember, the most dangerous words we can hear is, remember what Reagan said, Todd? I'm the government. I'm here to help. We're not going to rely on the government for this.
Oh, sure.
We think the church is the greatest force for good on planet Earth, and when we work together, we're unstoppable, and we want to be unstoppable on this issue.
I love it. All right, folks, again, go to the website, prestonwood.org/chosen. I believe we have a link up on our live show blog, so you'll be able to go there as well. The conference, April 13th, Prestonwood Baptist Church, hosting the Chosen Conference. Dr. Johnston, really appreciate you spending a few moments with us today.
Todd, thanks for your help, and thanks so much for being loud and proud about all the things we care about. Oh, we love you and appreciate
you. Well, you're very kind. I was just texting with your pastor earlier this morning, so please give him our best.
I'll do it. God bless you, Todd. Thank you, sir.
All right. There you go, folks. Pastor Jeremiah Johnston over at Prestonwood Baptist Church. Man, that church is massive. But here are the stats. And these are important stats. And I love what I love the thinking here is that the church does have a responsibility, does have a role in helping getting these children into homes, foster care, adoption. Nationally, about 400,000 kids are in foster care right now. About 100,000 of those kids are available for adoption or they're waiting for a family. And about 20,000 kids literally age out of the foster care system without a family every year. Could you imagine just getting kicked right out into society, no family there, no structure to help you? Folks, there is a role for your local church. It doesn't matter if you're in a tiny little town or you're in a major city. I think there's an opportunity here. So I hope you go check out this conference. And even if you can't make it to Dallas, at least listen online. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. G is on the line. What say you?
Hi. I just don't understand why things are just so polar. As Christians, we should just love everybody and accept everybody. And, you know, if Jesus were walking around right now, I don't think he would necessarily condemn somebody that finds himself as they, them, or had an abortion, or did any of those. You don't have to agree with things to show people love.
Well, I don't think that this is an issue of not showing people love. This is about calling out sinful behavior. And certainly, Jesus did that.
He may have done that, but he wouldn't.
He may have done it. No, he did it.
But he wasn't rude about it or hurtful about it, saying hurtful things to people or telling women that they're going to, telling women that don't feel like they have another choice, that they're evil.
What? So you're just going to kill? You're just going to kill the baby? So you're saying that Jesus would be okay with women killing their babies?
Jesus would have forgiven a woman.
Well, I'm glad you. It's rather presumptuous for you to know what Jesus would or would not do. But let me ask you this: back to the transgender issue. So, what would you recommend we do? So, do you believe in like what the Bible says, for example, about salvation, that no man comes to the Father except through a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you believe that, or do you believe everybody goes to heaven?
I believe if you are a moral person, you'll go to heaven.
Well, that's not what the Bible says. I mean, it's good if you want to live your life as a moral person, but the Bible says that's not going to get you to heaven. That's not good enough, according to the Bible.
I think that we pick and choose things from the Bible sometimes.
No, it's pretty clear. The Bible's teachings on this, and we can open it up to our audience, but the Bible's teachings are pretty clear on this. And, gee, this is not about hating anybody. This is about understanding right and wrong. This is about, again, if you want to talk about taking things out of context, look at the whole transgender movement right now. They're literally taking the Bible and they're saying the Bible is wrong. God has it wrong. God is not making male and female. They believe that God's making all these other people and all these other genders and sexes, and it's simply not true.
But when you look at it from a medical perspective, there are actually all kinds of in-the-middle situations that are born every day.
No, they're not. No. Actually, gee, they're not. And again, up until a few years ago, people who thought they were a boy or a girl and they weren't, that was a medical issue, and people received treatment for that, gender dysphoria. But now we are being told that we have to embrace that as being normal. So, no, I hate to correct you on that, but it has to be corrected. Gee, I got to run. But, folks, we're going to open up the phone lines here. G says that it's really, really just a matter of being a moral person. 901-260-5926. Do you agree or disagree? That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right. right, people. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch The Todd Stern Show on all of Newsmax's digital platforms, Facebook, YouTube. It's a lot of fun, and even read some of the things that you guys write to us in real time during the show. So be sure to check that out, The Todd Stern Show, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. And again, you can watch that on all of their digital platforms. All right, let's go to Ohio, AM 1570, our great affiliate there. Natalie is joining us. Hi, Natalie. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. We listen to you. Found you in New Bern, North Carolina, and we follow you now that we're in Ohio.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I'm right with you with everything that's going on in today's world. And the last caller, you know, I agree with you. God created Adam and Eve, and it's not Adam and Steve. I'm sorry. It's God's word, God's word. And if you take away from or add to it, you're making God a liar. And I agree with you with the relationship with God. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's the only way, you know, where you're going to spend eternity is in heaven. So,
Natalie, I'm with you on that. And, I mean, the Bible is pretty clear, and I happen to be a follower of the Scriptures. I, you know, consider myself to be a Christian man. And, again, you know, for someone like Jean, she sounds like a very nice, very pleasant, kind person. But the reality is that if someone is doing something that is contrary to the teachings of the Bible and you are a person of faith, you're going to want to address that with people. And you don't have to be mean and nasty about it. But the reality here is that the people being mean and nasty are the Democrats and their followers in this movement who intentionally used the holiest of Christian holidays to advance their agenda. I got a problem with that.
I do too. And our pastor did mention it yesterday.
Good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah. What's going on in this transgenderism and the drag queens and, I just wish I could do more. I mean, people just need to start standing up and speaking out and telling the truth.
That's it.
More needs to come from the pastors also.
Natalie, yeah. Well said. And we hope you call your local radio station and tell them thank you for carrying the show. We love all of our listeners there in the Youngstown, Ohio area. So God bless you. And give us a call back one of these days, Natalie. Will you do that?
You have a good week, Todd. Thank you.
All right. You too. All right. Thank you, Natalie. All right. I got a note from somebody. How come you didn't have a lot of guests today or Friday? I will talk more about this in depth tomorrow, but I just want to get real with you for a second. First of all, I got a lot to say. And second of all, I want to hear from a lot of you guys. And when we have a lot of guests on the show, I'm not able to do that. The other part of it is, I'm getting a little frustrated with some of these folks that we bring onto the program, and they will tell us one thing on this program, and then they turn around and do the exact opposite when they're up on Capitol Hill. So I'm sort of sorting through all of this. We'll have a more in-depth conversation about that tomorrow. But honestly, folks, it's to a point now where we really have to start calling people out. And the reality is, when we do call people out, they don't want to come back on the program, and I'm good with that. And here's, you know, if you are the kind of a person, you want to use our platform to advance your agenda, then you turn around and you kick us in the pants, we're going to call you out on that. So anyway, we're sorting through that. And I got to tell you, I like the old Rush Limbaugh method. It was Rush, right? Every now and again, he would have a guest on, but it was predominantly Rush. And I kind of like that. I find it refreshing. So we'll take your thoughts on that. And if you want to drop us a note, let us know what you think. You can do that on all of our social media platforms. By the way, thank you so much. You guys are crushing it, getting out there, buying a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I want you to keep it up. Tell your friends, your neighbors, the folks you go to church with that they've got to get a copy of the book. And if you don't have one, head over to toddstearns.com, and we'll be more than happy to hook you up with a signed copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. All right, we've got to scoot out of here, folks. Again, 5 o'clock Eastern. Be sure to catch me on Newsmax TV. You can watch us on their YouTube live channel as well as their Facebook live. All right, folks, happy Monday to you. You get out there and you be good, America.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.